Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello, it is Topical Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. Steve Cypress here. Hopefully everyone out there, if you're in America anyway, you're preparing and getting ready for Thanksgiving. It is definitely kind of affecting everything going on this week because lots of people taken and government offices and whatever, everything's taken a half day tomorrow, so we're all cramming as much as we possibly can into like 2 or 2.5 days this week to kind of get everything done. I myself personally will be getting a lot of work accomplished tomorrow and Friday and Saturday, Sunday. I'll be taking Thursday to spend some time with the family. I think we have like 20-something people coming over here for Thanksgiving. Rhino of the Day today is, I just picked this one up. And you might have seen this before if you follow along closely. Every day I share a rhino of the day. It's a Beanie Baby Rhino. Patrick is here. Good seeing you. Because I have a number of these. I mean, people love to send me rhinos and give me rhinos as gifts. And this must be, or at least years ago, it was extremely plentiful. You'd see these Beanie Baby. It's a Beanie Baby Rhino. The Beanie Babies collection. Spike is his name. And this is copyright. Ooh, it's got a 19 in front of it, so. Spike doesn't look that old, but it's from 1996. So here we have a 21-year-old, as an adult 21-year-old rhino, but he looks good as new. So that's Rhino of the Day. Not got anything really to do with today's topic, just I picked it up and shared it with you today. Today's topic is this crazy trolling going on. First of all, what did I put in the title here? A Trolling for Dollars. That's a homage to a TV show I loved when I was a kid called Bowling for Dollars, a game show where people come on and actually bowl in a bowling alley. And it was actually the one I was a fan of in New York where I was growing up, was filmed in Madison Square Gardens bowling alley in New York City where I worked for 3 years when I was in high school. And I would go over on a Saturday afternoon sometimes or whenever they were filming, I would watch them filming the show. How cool it was. I actually put in once to be on the show, Bowling for Dollars, filled out a card. I was on my high school bowling team, of all things, and I filled out the card, and I idiotically actually got a call. Hey, congratulations, you've been selected to be on the show. Here's the date and time. And I was like, oh, I can't make it that day because of whatever. Can you call me some other day? And they were like, yeah, sure. But they undoubtedly were thinking to themselves, you idiot. That was your one and only chance. I'm not calling you again. And I was like, oh, they'll call me again. Of course, they never call me again, so I blow it. But learn the lesson. When opportunity knocks, be ready to take advantage. Don't be sitting there making up excuses of why you can't take advantage of opportunity. I could have won a whole, like, I think if you shot a spare, you win $20. And if you hit, like, 2 strikes on the 2 shots, you would have won the jackpot of, like, a couple of hundred or something. It's dating way back to the 70s. Anyway, so subject of today, that's got nothing to do with the subject today, which is Donald Trump being the world's number one troll. Okay, so now when I was a kid, troll was just something I heard of in fairy tales. Like a troll was a ugly, disgusting creature that like lived under a bridge or something or hid behind a tree. And when travelers would pass by, he would just harass the crap out of them and scare them and like give them all kinds of grief and like, hey, thanks for all the likes. Justin Parker is here. Thank you. And so that's all I knew of a troll. So maybe that's where the term comes from because I went on to the internet to get the actual definition. I have it here, one of my other monitors, from Wikipedia.com, internet troll. In internet slang, it says, got to put on my glasses again, a troll is a person who sows discord on the internet by starting quarrels. Now, by the way, keep in mind what I just said, that in my opinion, Donald Trump is the world's number one troll of all time. So have the image of, maybe not the image, but have a picture of Donald Trump and the way he acts in mind as I read this definition. Hey, thanks for all those likes. Justin, yeah, hello. Great to see you here. Thank you. And so in internet slang, a troll is a person who sows discord on the internet by starting quarrels or upsetting people by posting inflammatory, extraneous, or off-topic messages in an online community with the intent of provoking readers into an emotional response or of otherwise disrupting normal on-topic discussion, often for the troll's amusement. I mean, could you have a better definition of Donald Trump and his world famous of all, most famous internet, Twitter account of all time? Like, man, that's pretty much all he does. He doesn't even, it doesn't even have to be in the internet. Donald Trump does this at his rallies. He does it, you know, whenever they shove a mic in his face, pretty much. I mean, at any chance he gets, Donald Trump is sowing discord by starting quarrels, upsetting people, posting inflammatory, extraneous, off-topic messages with the intent of provoking people into emotional response or of otherwise disrupting normal on-topic discussion, often for the troll's amusement. I mean, that's it. So when people are like, oh, is Trump ever going to become presidential? Or, you know, he ought to stop. Is he going to stop tweeting? Or is it? Check out that last phrase again. Often for the troll's amusement. Donald Trump is a 70-year-old billionaire who is now president of the United States, and clearly, I mean, my opinion is he's going to continue to do anything he damn well pleases. Like, everything is for his amusement. Come on now. So along the way, he's actually been getting some good stuff done that is helping the country get back on track, especially for the fact that we are dead broke, more than dead broke. We are like billions and trillions of dollars in debt. And so, you know, now they're trying to get this tax reform, tax cut, whatever. You know, think about it, folks, tax cut. And they're like, oh, the family will get $2,000 tax cut. I mean, $2,000. 50 weeks in a year, $2,000. I can do the math. That's like, what is that, 20 bucks a week? I mean, like, big deal. Like, 20 bucks a week is not changing people's lives. But all the regulation he's been cutting like crazy, well, that's, in effect, giving companies a tax cut. It's giving companies an economic break, and it's got the economy booming. So with or without tax cuts, the economy is booming because of actions Trump's taken. So while he's taking those good actions and doing some other stuff, then, of course, he's doing some crazy stuff. I mean, that's pretty much the troll. It's, you know, allow the old man to do some stuff for his amusement. What the heck? And even if you don't allow him, he's going to do it anyway. So here's the key and the business lesson in all this, because now I see that Trump is being trolled by another troll who wants to be 1 millionth the troll Donald Trump is. It's this guy named LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball. How can you forget his last name? Because his kid plays pro basketball. And then his other kid is going to play pro basketball, I guess. He's playing at a top college. And so his name is Ball, LeVar Ball, and he's a fantastic troll in the mold of Trump. Like I said, though, he's an insignificant one guy with a kid who plays pro ball against the most powerful man on earth. But come on now, Trump was like, hey, I got your kid out of prison in China. He could have rotted there for 10 years. I got him out. You ought to thank me. And then the kids come out and go, yeah, yeah. They read off a card because, of course, at pro athletes, in case you have noticed, about the most anti-Trump, well, not the most because there's so many of them, but there are tremendously anti-Trumpers. So they come out and they read off a piece of paper. Oh, okay, thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, as if they really mean that or want to thank him. I mean, I guess they mean that because they know he did something, but they don't want to thank Trump or even mention his name. Maybe just said Mr. President. I mean, like, they're tremendous anti-Trumpers. So this LeVar Ball comes out. I see on the news, probably more by now because I haven't paid attention all day, but I saw this morning, he comes out and he puts on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere like, oh, yeah, big deal. You know, come on now. He didn't do anything. And like, what? So then I saw a clip of him being interviewed on one of the news channels, and I just caught part of it, but he was saying something like, the guy was asking, what do you mean by that? And he was like, Trump didn't go over there to get my kid out. He was already there, you know, so he, you know, give me a break. He didn't like take any time out of his trouble. You know, he didn't fly over there to get him and rescue him and bring him back. He just, you know, claims that he brought him, but whatever, it's all BS. And of course, this LeVar Ball character, and everyone on earth knows that, of course, Trump got his kid out of prison because otherwise he'd be in there. And so, but that's not going to get any attention. Trolling Donald Trump is going to get tremendous attention, especially when the Trump when the troll, Trump trolls, it's fitting, he trolls you right back. You know, which, by the way, that reminds me also that when I was a kid, am I wrong here, but I think they were called troll dolls. And they were these little plastic dolls with the crazy different colored purple and yellow and green hair. And the hair was like just blonde hair, like sticking up or purple or whatever. And you would like swing the troll by the hair or whatever. I didn't have them, but the girls had them or whatever. So I think my sister had a bunch of them. But like, isn't that fitting that, like, I guess if you unravel Trump's amazingly grotesque comb over, you would come out with like the hair of a troll doll. What do you know? How fitting is it? But anyway, I digress. So here's the deal. This guy is hoping that Trump gets into a Twitter war with him and tweets him back, because then the guy is like, hey, I'm being trolled by the president. I'm getting all this attention. And the key word is attention. So attention is one of the hallmarks of all. Hey, thanks for the likes. I got to say, who else is here? Justin Parker says 40. I should have been looking along the way, because that's probably a response to some incorrect number I gave of something happening. So thanks for the correction or the explanation, or just saying 40 if that's all it was. And Justin says trolling is a very effective way to get someone's attention. Exactly. Yes. See, so I'm finally, I am paying attention. Justin beat me to it. And Brett Elias here and Chad Powers is here. Great seeing you. Because right, because getting attention is the first step of all marketing and advertising. It's what marketing and advertising has to do. And this dates back to, I believe, what was called the Advertising Handbook in like 1854 or something. So it dates back, this idea that all of advertising and marketing needs to get attention is dating back, you know, 150 years more than 150 years. So, and then it became I believe his name was St. Elmo Lewis, I think. E. St. Elmo Lewis or something came up with AIDA, the AIDA principle. You got to get attention, you got to get their interest, then you got to get them to desire what you want, and then you got them to take action and get what you want, the AIDA principle. Now, that's been debunked, so whether you believe it or not, which I personally do not, it's much too linear. There's all kinds of different things going on, but there's no denying that attention is necessary. And so Donald Trump, running for president, did all kinds of outrageous, crazy, ridiculous things, got a ton of attention. In fact, it was a culmination of 50 years of getting attention. Trump, you know, I grew up in New York, in where Trump is from, where Trump was getting attention as I was growing up in the 70s. And he wasn't just another real estate developer or a pretty much insignificant. He still is in the world of big finance. He's fairly insignificant. I mean, he's on the list of the top 400 billionaires, but you got all kinds of people, especially in the real estate world, worth, you know, 10, 20, 50 times what he is, and have done so much more than him and that look down on him. There's even, you know, I know the mayor of New York was a billionaire, Michael Bloomberg, who is worth like five times as much as Trump. And so he financially looks down on Trump and so forth. So, but nobody has the notoriety, especially now that he's president, Donald Trump. I mean, he parlayed his fame that he produced all on his own. He wasn't born famous. He made this, created this out of thin air because he realized early on that positive or negative, he's getting attention. And that translates into dollars. So when he goes after to get a property, to put his name on a property, oh, I've heard of you, you're Trump. You know, or do you want to, you know, be the creator of my ties? Because I'm going to call them Trump ties, and everyone's heard of Trump, so you're going to sell ties because they got the Trump name on it, and Trump water, and Trump steaks, and Trump this, and Trump that. And so he knew that just getting attention, building that name, positive or negative, his name out there, positive or negative. I mean, how could you better describe what he's been going through for the last 2 years? Like, who's gotten more negative attention in the last 2 years than anyone in the history of mankind, than Donald Trump? Like, it's likely nobody in the history of mankind has got more negative attention in the past few years than Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, for some reason, looks like she's attempting to get more, but it ain't going to happen. Give it up. Nobody is getting as much negativity thrown at him as Donald Trump. And yet, seems to revel in it. He loves it. He enjoys it because he knows that it's attention. And so this LeVar Ball is successfully taking advantage when you have a troll, and that's the business lesson. You need to get attention. So if you're willing to put yourself out there and be ridiculed, it's likely that you're going to be ridiculed. Here's what you want to keep in mind. It's likely you're going to be ridiculed as a business person by people who are not your customer, not your patient, not your client, not your member, whatever they are in your business, and never are going to be. So you could either have them not mention you at all, not think about you, not talk about you at all. They're not going to buy your stuff anyway, or use them to rail against you. And therefore, even though they're not directly giving you money, they're helping you make money. Does this make sense? Do people follow this? Brett Elias says, get attention equals the need to break one's pattern. Okay, it's great. People understand that you need to get attention to make money as a business person. So when you have, now here's an example. My first career was sports broadcasting, right? So a hallmark of sports broadcasting is doing play-by-play. So I did all that. Having a call-in talk show, I did that. So I ran my college radio station, in fact, and did all the play-by-play of the sports of the different major sports and some minor ones of the school. And I did all kinds of, I was the MC or the PA announcer in my high school basketball and whatever. You know, I was always doing that kind of stuff. But when I got to college, I had my own, I became the sports director, and then I became the GM of the whole station. But I had my own sports call-in show. And then I produced what, I don't know, I think it might still be going on, the Eddie Anderman show, the Sports Huddle, which at the time and for decades was the number one sports radio show in all of New England. I went to school in Boston. And I was the youngest ever producer of the show when I was, there I was in college or in law school, and I was producing the show, you know, booking the guests and picking them up at the airport and doing whatever and answering the phones and screening callers and, you know, get coffee for the host. I was producing the show, doing all that kind of stuff. So but I learned right there, this is 30 years ago, so I was pretty young to learn this, that, and Eddie Anderman was a master of it, of course. How else do you be number one? That the callers to the show are not the listeners of the show. The callers of the show, by just the very nature of the fact they're calling, are putting themselves out as cannon fodder, as raw material for the host of the show to use to further the enjoyment of the listeners of the show. Does this make sense? So I made this mistake before I got that producer job with Eddie Anderman and learned from the master. When I had my sports call-in show, I'd be real nice to the callers. Oh, they're calling, you know, they're supporting me by calling. So let's be nice to them. Oh, I disagree, but hoo-ha, let's be all nice. Then I got a job with Eddie Anderman, and he was like, you know, hey, caller, you're an idiot. Boom, you know, bang, boom. I'm like, wow, you know, he's mistreating his call. He's like, no, you don't understand, Steve. Let me explain what I just did to you. So next time you listen to a call-in show, it can be sports, can be politics, can be news, can be anything, understand that people that do it right, look at the callers of the show, are very few people. Second of all, they're very much like Trump. They're very narcissistic. They're calling because they just need to be heard and they need to get that attention. But like, so let's take the Sports Huddle, for instance. For example, they had, you know, tens of thousands of listeners. I don't even remember the numbers on any, it was on every Sunday night. Any given week, they had tens of thousands of listeners and maybe a dozen callers throughout the 3-4 hours of the show. I don't remember how long it was. But we had guests on, and, you know, there were three co-hosts of the show, Eddie, Mark, and Jim, and they would talk about things. And but then they'd take callers. So maybe 10, 20 callers out of tens of thousands of listeners. And second of all, the callers are, you know, who needs them? There were regular, once a, another lesson, once there was a regular caller calling up week after week after week, Eddie would come to me and say, that guy doesn't get on anymore. Give him 6 months off. And I was like, and I'm thinking to myself wrongly, but he's a part of the show. Everyone loves when he comes on and you make fun of him. It's all part of the show. And he's like, dude, that's the whole point. And of course he didn't say dude. When somebody, he probably said, listen, kid, when somebody wants to make themselves part of my show, this is my show, not their show. If they come on and that's the whole point, Steve, if people try and make themselves part of my show, I gotta shove them off. It can't be part of my show. People can't look forward to them calling and their call. They'll look up to somebody else. They'll look forward to somebody else. I'll just take somebody else a call. And every call that came in, Eddie made it part of the show, made it entertaining. So Eddie didn't need to benefit so-and-so. Like, I remember there was a guy, there was a caller, his name was Paul from Southie, from South Boston. This guy had T-shirts made up. Paul from Southie. I remember he sent it to me. Hey, here's a shirt. Paul from Southie with a space on it. I'm like, interesting to see what you look like because I talk to you every Sunday. And he was like going around me, missed a big shot. Now, with the internet today, he'd be going all over Twitter and Facebook and you name it and going, I'm fun. And Eddie was like, that's it. He's out. Like, this is my show. And nobody is going to get famous or rich or anything off of me. So the king troll is going to win in this case. So that's an example. Here you have Donald Trump, who is, you know, going back and forth with like these anti-Trumper athletes, which basically almost all these athletes are anti-Trumpers. He didn't apologize enough, or he didn't thank me enough, or some nonsense. And then the father sees an opportunity. This LeVar Ball character sees an opportunity and says, man, if I can just please get the president to hate me, I can become not only get all this attention, become famous, but I can become a hero to the anti-Trumpers, which is my market, athletes, because I think he markets, somebody said he markets basketball sneakers for like $500 or something. Like that was the newscaster was saying, like, why is this kid shoplifting when he sells sneakers for $500 a pair? You know, give me a break. I'm not a psychiatrist, although I'm a direct response marketer, which is all behavioral psychology and math. And so as far as behavioral psychology, he shoplifts because he has to shoplift, or maybe he wanted to get caught and get attention. I mean, all kinds of reasons. It had nothing to do with the fact he's rich. Rich people do stupid things. They shoplift once in a while. There have been celebrities and athletes or whatever caught shoplifting. It's, you know, for whatever reason. But the key is you want to see now, is Trump going to continue to respond to this, what is basically a flea on a wart on a mosquito's butt compared to Donald Trump? Is he going to continue to, and I think he's not, because Trump knows this guy is a pipsqueak and Trump is helping him out, because no one who loves Trump, that's not the target market for basketball sneakers. Basketball players, pro athletes, college athletes, likely they're all anti-Trumpers. And so, who cares if Trump is putting them down or saying something against, they love that. He's making the guy a hero. So in your business world, you want to do the same thing. Look for where you can find somebody who is a big shot, who is known to be a troll, to be this, start quarrels and upset people and be inflammatory and disrupt normal on-topic discussion and, like, troll them. Go after them, right? That way you'll get attention. Now, I have to be willing, of course, to, again, get slammed by people and get put down. I'm sure there's plenty of people. All the pro-Trumpers, I have a feeling, are, like, anti-LeVar Ball. Oh, that guy. Who's he? Oh, how disrespectful of the office of president. Give me a break. There's nobody that disrespects the office of president in the history of mankind more than Donald Trump, is there? Come on now. So, but anyway, I'm sure all the pro-Trumpers are like, I'll never buy that guy's sneakers. Really, how many pairs did you have already? And like, you know, you were never going to buy them. And even if a few of them were, I'll give up the few sales or the few people that maybe were going to buy them that are pro-Trumpers to be a hero to the anti-Trumper world, which is my target market if I'm selling basketball, expensive basketball sneakers to top basketball players. They're likely to be tremendous anti-Trumpers. And in fact, if you're listening, LeVar Ball, if you're watching this video, you ought to put a picture of Donald Trump's face on the sole of each sneaker and then have an instruction card coming in going, this way, every time you jump and land, you'll be smashing Trump's face. I mean, you really ought to take this to a new level and just troll the crap out of Trump. Try and get him to respond. You become the anti-Trump hero to the anti-Trumpers. Like, that's what this guy's trying to do. And you want to do the same in your business as long as you're willing to take that kind of grief. You just have to realize that you're taking grief from people that don't matter. They don't matter. Too many people care too much about what other people say. Here's what I care about, what people say about me. Who are the people that say things about me that I care about? They're my clients. Everyone else doesn't matter. Okay. So nothing personal to people watching here. I mean, I appreciate Chad and Justin and Brett and was somebody else up in the beginning. I forget. Patrick Keene was here. If you're not paying me money, and you're not my client, I really don't care. You can put right in the comments, Steve, you suck. You're the worst. In fact, go ahead and do that because you'll realize you'll be adding to my show. I'll just make fun of you. And if I feel like I probably won't, but I mean, I could really show you how to do it here. I'd make fun of you. I'd put you down. By the way, realize just like Eddie Anneman said, no more Paul from South Boston. He's off the show, which by the way, do you think that stopped the guy from calling me? I mean, I still had to talk to him. Steve, no, you can't do this to me. Like, my whole life revolves around I'm Paul from Southie on the Eddie Anneman show. Like, see ya. And so I could block you from my videos or Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or everywhere that I put these. I could block you from all of them. But why would I? I don't do that. And people sometimes come on, you know, this is another good example. People come on my Facebook wall and they come on and they're like, Steve, you're this, you're that. They're cursing me out. They're whatever this. And other people are like, you ought to block that guy. I'm like, you don't get it. And now I'm explaining why. I'm like, no way. That guy's totally amusing. That guy's totally giving me. He's cannon fodder for me. He's ammunition for me to fire back. He's allowing me to be the hero to my followers who agree with what I'm saying or just love to see me battle these people. Like, it'd be no fun if everyone just agreed with me. Like, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to get attention for that. Okay, so being milquetoast, trying to get everyone to like you, trying to just be calm and presidential and calm and professional and all that BS is not going to get you attention, folks. Okay, learn your lesson here from the pro-Trumper, Donald Trump, who else is more pro-Trump than Donald Trump, and the anti-Trumper, LeVar Ball. They're both doing the same thing. They're being outrageous trolls who are both starting quarrels, upsetting people, posting inflammatory off-topic messages in communities with the intent of provoking readers into emotional response and otherwise disrupting normal on-topic discussion, often for the trolls' amusement. And I'm going to add, for their financial gain. They're both doing this not just for their amusement, but for their financial gain. You ought to do it too as a business owner. Okay, that's it for today's Topical Tuesday. If you're watching on a replay or you're here, let me know in a comment. Agree, disagree, I'm an idiot, I'm ugly, I look like a bowling ball, so maybe I should be bowling for dollars. Whatever you want to say, have at it. And thanks for watching most of all, because again, like I said, no matter what you say, if you're going to tune in every day just to berate me in the comments, by all means, tune in. I know Facebook's algorithm says all the people that tune in help more people get shown your videos and whatever. And plus, again, you'll be cannon fodder for the pro Steves to be out there going, look at that idiot, and loving me more. So good or bad, have at it. Say anything you want. Tweet me at Steve Cypress. Email steve@stevecypress.com. Private message, public message, anything you want to do. Maybe now you know why. I welcome and I'm open to it all. That's it for Topical Tuesday. I will be back tomorrow with Wisdom Wednesday, and I hope you will all join me then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.